Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. Today, we have somebody who I talked to a couple of months ago. And you know, when you have the opportunity to meet new people who've created new products and services, you know, we get inundated with this at Top Advisor Marketing. You know, everybody's got a great product. Everybody's super excited about what they do. But then you actually meet somebody who's actually created something that is actually truly unique and different. And that's who we have on the podcast today. So his name is Kyle Christensen. He is the president and founder of Personal Financial Snapshot. And the reason why I really wanted him on is because we're always looking for ways for you as a financial services professional to separate yourself from the advisor down the street. And I believe, and of course I know Kyle does too, that this is a great, great way to separate yourself. So Kyle, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you so much, Matt. I appreciate it.
All right. Let's, before we really jump into the snapshot itself, tell us a little bit about your history. Like, you know, how did this come about? What is your history within the industry and stuff like that?
Okay. So I started 20 years ago, 1999, and an interesting time to start in the financial services industry because it was right at the tail end of the dot-com boom. And, but I was introduced on the protection side. I didn't come in on the equity side. And so right away from the beginning, you know, I started to develop a focus more on the protection, on the fixed, you know, products part of the business. And I fell in love with it. And I decided that that's what I wanted to do for my career. I was actually on a path in college at the time to become a physical therapist. So,
So
quite a change of direction. But I was pretty lucky to be at a university where it was also an accredited university for the certified financial planner. And so I decided to add that as a minor, and I took personal financial planning and went that direction. And I found myself, you know, in my spare time reading all kinds of financial books. I really loved all of Robert Kiyosaki's books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad series, and started to develop my belief system about money at that time and you know, took off from there. I started with a company called Guardian Life, and I'm sure many advisors that listen to this will know who that is and probably associate with them or have. And in 2004, I ended up starting my own financial planning business, went off on my own. I realized that I wanted to be in control of my own reputation. And when you're in an office with a bunch of other advisors and they're constantly recruiting, you know, you don't have much control over that. So that's kind of my starting off point.
Yeah, we actually have a halfway decent amount of our podcasting clients are Guardian reps. We, for some reason, Guardian's compliance understands the power of this medium. And so that's kind of cool that that's where you're you kind of cut your teeth. Well, let's talk about this thing that you've created, right? Let's talk about the creation, because I know there's a lot of people who listen to this who think that they have a great idea and might not fully understand the complexity, the investment of not only money, but time that goes into creating something like the personal financial snapshot.
Oh, I had no idea what I was getting into. I'll put it that way. Looking back, if I could have bought something like this out on the market, I would have, you know, knowing what I know now. But it's also, you know, really satisfying to think of something, have an idea in your head, and see it come to fruition, see it come to life. And that's what happened in 2012. I was kind of at a turning point in my career, and I needed to get a new system. And I really created the software out of necessity because I didn't feel like there was a great system out there. I didn't feel like there was one that fit my philosophy and the way I approach things, and specifically simplicity, which we may have a chance to talk more about that here in a little bit. But I really wanted something simple. I wanted something that clients could understand. I wanted something that advisors could follow. And like I said, I created it first for me. I didn't really initially have the idea of saying, you know, I want to create this and I'm going to market it to the thousands of advisors across the country. I mean, that wasn't my original intent, but I feel like it's a great tool and I feel like it's unique, like we've talked about, and other people are going to appreciate it.
So let's talk about the philosophy. What are the philosophical underpinnings of why you created this software?
So we know in this industry that by far the majority of financial planning is needs-based analysis, and it's also projections-based. It's based on projecting a future need. And, you know, at the Women in Financial Services conference that they had last year, their annual conference, I brought a crystal ball with me, and the crystal ball had a thing taped on the front that said out of order. And it was such a great conversation piece because people would look at that and be like, I have to know why you have this, you know? And that's really a huge, I feel like it's a huge problem in our industry that we spend a lot of time. We're trained by the CFP board. We're trained by financial institutions to try and predict people's future needs. And the reality is we can't predict that. We can't predict what people are going to go through. We can't predict what they're going to need in the future. That number that we may show them is almost guaranteed to be wrong. And so our philosophy, the underpinning of Personal Financial Snapshot, is that it's not based on projections or predictions of the future. It's based on principle. And, you know, I talked to an advisor the other day, actually at the WIFS conference. She came to me and she said, so if you don't plan a person's financial plan based on a future value of what they need, then how do you do that, you know? And I asked her, I said, you know, let's say we did that and let's say this person was on target, this client was on target or maybe even ahead of schedule, and this is 2007 and they have saved and their assets are performing better than expected. What will be the tendency of that client if they feel like, hey, I'm ahead of schedule, I don't really need to save as much, right? That will be the tendency, is that they can put the brakes on and they can slow down their savings. And I said, is that what you really want your client to do? Do you want them to stop saving or slow down their saving? And she said, absolutely not. And I said, well, that's why the principle is the reason, is what you really want to teach the client. You want to teach them to save regardless of the circumstances. And she said, yeah, that's right. So what we want as financial advisors is people to make decisions based on principle, but the way we sell is needs-based analysis, which is a conflict. They're contradictory. And so that's the first thing, is Personal Financial Snapshot is principles-based. We want people to save regardless of the situation, even into retirement. Continue to save. We don't know how long people are going to live. I don't know how long Matt Hollerin is going to live. I hope he lives a long time. And I don't ever want you to stop saving, because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. And we don't know how much money you're going to need. We can't predict people's, you know, needs when it comes to insurance. You know, how much does a person need if you don't know that they're going to have cancer? I have a friend here, actually, that her husband just was given two months to live.
Oh,
yeah. And if we would have done a needs-based analysis for this guy, this friend, his name's Chip. If we would have done a needs-based analysis for Chip 10 years ago, would we have predicted that they would be in this circumstance right now at this time in their life? And they owe over $1 million now in medical bills that aren't covered by their insurance. Mm. So, you know, needs-based analysis could have never predicted that. So one of our principles is maximum protection. If we would have given Chip, if I had the chance to work with Chip before, I would have recommended his maximum life insurance. Would that have been enough? Who knows? But it would be the best position he could possibly be in. And that's just an example of how Personal Financial Snapshot is so different.
Okay, so
we give our go ahead.
I'm sorry. Say the last part. We give your.
I was just going to say, we give our clients the opportunity to know what they could have. And we let them stay in the driver's seat. You know, we want them to be the ones that get to make the decision based on an educated, you know, situation where they feel like, hey, I'm informed. I know what I have available to me, what I could have, and I'm going to choose that. Right. And I think financial advisors might be surprised that most clients want their maximum.
And I think a lot of financial advisors are so, you and I talked about this in February, but I think there's so many financial advisors who started off in the insurance industry and hated it so much that they just don't like talking about that because it's a lot more of a sale, right, yep, than it is anything else. But that's what Personal Financial Snapshot helps them with, right, is it's not a sale. It is the beginning of a discussion, and it's kind of proof in the pudding. Is that fair?
Absolutely, yeah. It's so systematic, and it's comprehensive. And yeah, it's not a sales pitch. I mean, we start out and the most important thing, what I train advisors to do in the very first meeting is listen, is ask questions and listen. Don't give any recommendations in that first meeting. And that's different for clients when they meet with someone.
Yeah. And the clients are generally so on the defensive because they're afraid that they're going to get sold, right, that it's very difficult to have that conversation. The most successful financial advisors from a marketing standpoint and from a referral standpoint are the ones who really, truly do know how to listen. And that's one of those skills. And Kyle, I'm really glad that you teach that because it is actually a skill. It's a muscle, right? It's something you have to practice because if you don't, then you're just not going to be as good at it. So let's talk about how can you use this from a marketing perspective, right? How do you use this conversation to really separate yourself from the advisor down the street?
Well, I mean, my first question would be, can you predict the future, in all honesty? And most advisors, I think, will say, no, we can't predict the future. And so let's not base our planning on that. You know, wouldn't you rather teach your clients to make decisions based on principles that have been time tested, that are proven economically, that have worked for people over time in any circumstance versus showing them something that even you know is probably not correct. Even you know is probably not the right number, right? That you can't predict that. And you know, that's the big difference. Another one is our software is not charts and graphs and numbers oriented. You know, at the end of the day, the report that we give our client is a one-page view of their entire financial situation. And it's a one-page view that if you slid that page in front of them and said, this is your entire financial situation, what can you tell me about it? They could tell you a lot about it by looking at that one page. I've seen other programs, I've seen other systems, and you know, I've seen others that say that they have a one-page view. And if you put that in front of a client and ask them to explain what they're looking at, I guarantee you they couldn't tell you much.
Yeah, it's blinding, right? It's so confusing. And I love that you actually took me, so for our listeners, Kyle actually took me on a demo of this. And do you remember what I said when you showed me that final page?
Hopefully you said, wow.
I did. I said, wow, oh my gosh, I can't believe how easy this is to understand. You know, some advisors, Kyle, seem to think that when they show their clients and prospects this insanely complex financial plan, it's like the idea of an attorney with heft, right? Well, if I don't give you 80,000 page document, then I can't justify my fee. But personally, when I saw the result of the sample that you took me through, which by the way, I highly recommend that you all either get on a webinar with Kyle or, you know, connect with him on social media, because when you see this, especially for those of you who want to enter more into the world of real life planning, instead of, you know, maybe just doing life insurance or just being a trader or not being involved in either of those at all and just kind of trying to provide advice, this is a really great tool. Now, I do have to say something. I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Great.
Which is, for some reason, when they defined the fiduciary standard, they seem, and I'm air quoting, they seem to feel that insurance is not fiduciary.
Yeah.
Well, how do you respond to that, man?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, from the very beginning of my career, like I said, I became a certified financial planner. So mm-hmm. I voluntarily took on the fiduciary responsibility right away mm-hmm. in my career. And I feel like I understand that what that means, which what that means to me is I'm looking out for the client's best interest. So number one, you talked about people who are maybe just selling products, individual products, and not looking at things holistically. If you went to a doctor and the doctor, before he even checked you out, didn't check your records, didn't test anything, didn't look at you holistically, he starts prescribing some medication to you, does that make you nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah. So from a fiduciary responsibility in the financial services industry, can we possibly give what's in the best interest of a client if we don't really have a comprehensive view of their entire financial situation? Even if we're only giving product advice about life insurance, for example, don't we really need to have a comprehensive view, at least basing that decision on that view?
Yes. Yes,
absolutely.
We do.
Absolutely, because there's no way to separate it out. There's no way to say, okay, well, I'm only doing life insurance and that doesn't affect any other part of my financial life. No, they're totally interconnected. They will absolutely affect each other. Mm-hmm. And so we have to base recommendations and hopefully clients base their decision on the comprehensive view. So that's one thing. You know, the other thing is as far as being a fiduciary, conflicts of interest. You know, you mentioned that the insurance industry is really the focal point of that, and I agree. I think it's really interesting. I would say maybe I'm biased. I'm sure I'm biased about it. But who's hiding the fees? You know, what industry, what part of the financial service industry is hiding the fees? There's a great book called Take on the Street, and I'm trying to remember the author. He was a former SEC chairman, Arthur Levitt. That's his name. He was a SEC chairman under the Bill Clinton era. And during that era, he tried to get things passed to make it so that clients, people who are investing in mutual funds, could clearly understand what they're paying. And guess what? He came up against a brick wall. Yeah. He couldn't get anything passed. And he said, this is his own words. He said, I realized the complexity of this and the problem when I'm the SEC chairman. I'm the one governing the whole industry, and I pick up a prospectus and I can't understand it. And he said, what is the average person going to do?
Yeah.
So talk about, you know, not being clear. But yeah, the DOL rule was very focused on the fixed business, yeah, fixed annuities, fixed life insurance side of the world. Of planning, and in my opinion, unfairly so. And if I just think about when I run a whole life illustration, for example, can I manipulate any number in that illustration by my own choice? No, it has right. It has two columns. It has guaranteed and it has current. Uh-huh. Period. It doesn't allow me to manipulate anything. But if I'm showing projections of retirement rates of return and things like that on mutual funds, can I manipulate that? Absolutely. I can raise it up to 12%.
Right.
So it's an interesting thing. I think that there were going to be some unintended consequences, which we could talk about another time, maybe related to the DOL rule, but
yeah,
the fiduciary role. And I think that the heart of it is that we should be having our client's best interest at heart. We should know and understand the client's situation. Sometimes the client doesn't know what's wrong with their plan. I would say oftentimes it's like someone knowing that they have high cholesterol. You don't feel that. You don't feel that you have high cholesterol. But you go to a doctor and they do testing and they can find out and let you know, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what our model helps us do.
All right. So before we get into some of the personal questions about really who you are and what makes you tick, what's the best way for people to reach out to you? Do you like webinars and stuff like that to teach people and show people what you got?
Absolutely. So the first thing I would recommend people do is go to the website, personalfinancialsnapshot.com, and download the software for free. You get to download it and try it out for 30 days. And every week, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. Central, we do a webinar for licensees, and it's just an ongoing training, and those get recorded, and they're archived on the website. There's access, so anybody who's a licensee, that's why I'm saying get that free license going, then you can participate, you can join in. And, you know, it's a complex – the reality is this software – takes time and effort to learn and figure out why everything's the way it is and learn about those principles so you can teach them effectively to your clients. But I would say that everything that is worthwhile and enduring requires time and effort. I don't know of anything that doesn't. And so we absolutely have a selfish interest in people succeeding with our software yeah. and our system. And we want them, we'll do whatever it takes to help you succeed.
That's awesome, man. All right. So we are going to switch gears. And what we have found, Kyle, is that people like to do business with the people they like and have things in common with. So we try to highlight some of the things that make you, you outside of this amazing piece of software and this philosophy that you've created. Are you ready?
I am.
All right. So what do you do when you're not working?
I am a big time fisherman. I love it. Just being on the lake and the only thing you can hear is the wind blowing through the trees along the shoreline or hear birds flying. And, you know, that is just my recharge.
Awesome. Who's your hero?
Man, currently I would say it's my wife. She is just an amazing example. She's the most incredible person I've ever met in my life. So, you know, she's the most selfless person that I've ever known. Sometimes I think I'm pretty selfless, but then I see her do things and the way she thinks and her constant care and concern of other people. You know, I hope one day I can be like that.
Awesome.
I mean, I really do.
Huh. If you had all of the money in the world you ever needed, what would you do?
I mean, all the money in the world, there are so many needs out there. I was lucky enough to serve a mission for my church in Brazil. And for 2 years, and I think it's, you know, leaving the United States and going to see other places, especially third world countries. I mean, we think we know what poverty is here, but then you leave the country and you go somewhere like that and you realize, oh, you don't know what poverty is.
Yeah.
and they can't lift themselves out of it. You know, in America, you can come from pretty poor circumstances and still go to college. You know, you can still change your circumstances, but places like Brazil, you can't without some kind of help. And so I feel like I would want to focus my efforts in that. I love the Brazilian people. I'm sure I would do something as far as that goes.
Who is your favorite person in history and why?
Oh man, that's a great question. Shoot. My favorite person in history, you know, and this will probably sound religious, I guess, but I would say Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, there have been tons of people who have done incredible things, but none has impacted more in my mind in the world than Jesus and the philosophy of love thy neighbor as thyself and, you know, treat people with kindness and love and no matter what their circumstances is, you know, the idea of love, even your enemy. I just think, wow, that's a challenge. I mean, I still have a lot to learn as far as that goes, but no one has had a more impact in the world, in my opinion, than him.
You know, I have a lot of people who say that, just so you know. So that, when I ask that question, you might not be surprised how often he comes up. All right, how do you define success? What does success mean to you?
Success to me is lifting my own family and others around me, kind of like you raise the water and it lifts all the boats, right? And that's how I feel like if my success only helped me and only helped my own family, then it, in my mind, that's not really success. I love helping others, and I've learned in my life that that's where true happiness comes from, is reaching beyond yourself. And like I said, Amber's my wife is a great example of that. And that's what I want to do with this software, with this program. If I was the only one that benefited, then it would be a failure to me.
All right. So my last question is, what is the one thing that you recommend to family or friends or clients? Could be a book, a TED talk, a philosophy, anything along those lines.
The one thing, and I'll stick with maybe the financial part of it. I would say that I'd want people to not follow the crowd. You know, I would want them to want to look outside the box and not follow the crowd, because the majority of people are not financially successful. And I would recommend that they start maybe with Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I mean, that was a starting point for me too. And he does a great job of introducing a philosophy that's different, you know, that's outside the box. It's not the norm. And I want people to be successful. And if they want to be successful, and I think you started out this way with the podcast, is that you got to stand out, mm-hmm. right? You have to be different. If you want to follow the crowd, then you're going to go where the crowd goes. And most of the crowd is not going to be successful. So being willing to stand out and be different and think differently, I think, is a huge key. So that's what I'd recommend.
Well, Kyle, thank you. Thank you very much. And to wrap today's podcast up, can you give us the contact information again so people can reach out to you and find out more about Personal Financial Snapshot?
Absolutely. So the website is personalfinancialsnapshot.com. And you can email me directly if you have questions. I'd love to do a demo for you at some point. I'd love to visit with you and see how this philosophy can fit in with your practice or improve your practice. My email is Kyle, K-Y-L-E, at personalfinancialsnapshot.com.
All right, Kyle. Well, again, thank you. Thank you so much. And everybody, you know, sometimes it is the simple client interface that truly will change your relationship, help you close more business, and also help you communicate the ideas that your clients need to hear. Not just hear, though, but to be able to visualize. And sometimes a very, very complex financial plan is not the best way to do it. It's just a nice, easy way to absorb and really retain and understand the information. And that's really what Personal Financial Snapshot is for. And it's also to make sure that your clients are truly protected, because the greatest thing about yourself is, one, your ability to live, and the other one is your ability to earn money. And if you don't have those two things covered for your legacy, and not just for your protection, but for your family's protection, I personally think you're really, really missing a lot. So for Kyle Christensen, the president and founder of Personal Financial Snapshot, and for everybody here at Top Advisor Marketing, we will see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at Iris.xyz.